Well, I wonder if you are a worrier. I have to confess that I am a bit of a worrier. If I'm going on holiday, if we're getting a train or a plane, I worry about the connections, I worry about the documents, I worry about what we're going to find when we get there, will our seat be available, and so on. Maybe you know what that's like. Perhaps you're one of those people who at 4 o'clock in the morning is a time when your head is just full of the worries of life. I guess we all worry at some point, but the fact is some of us do worry more than others. And research has divided people into two groups, worriers and those for whom worry is less of a problem. And the bad news for those of us who are worriers is that we are three times more likely to suffer with our health because of it. We're three times more likely to have a heart attack or a stroke. Now, here's some characteristics of a worrier. I wonder if you recognize any of these. Being competitive, competing over everything. Even if you're playing a board game with your children, you're being determined to win. Someone who can't resist a telephone ringing. You can't leave it for the answer phone to kick in. So you're just worried as to who it might be. Maybe you're someone who, when you're driving along the motorway, you swap lanes to try and save a few seconds on the journey. Well, here's one for me. You'll get frustrated in the checkout queue at the supermarket because the person in front of you or the checkout operator or both are taking too long or having a conversation or whatever. From a health perspective, worry isn't a good thing. And in that gospel reading that we just had that Enid read to us, Jesus tells us that worry isn't a good thing. If you've not got it open, perhaps you would like to turn back to it on page 971. Now, it begins with the word therefore, and the clue when we see a passage beginning with the word therefore is to say, what is it talking about? What's Jesus just been talking about? And the section before is all about money. And Jesus says, do not worry. Because if you look back, he's been saying about money. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, he says. And as he deals with our concerns about our material wealth, so he tackles the wider issue of worry about all of our other things. And Jesus gives some very practical reasons as to why worry is the wrong thing to do. And the first thing he says is it's a waste of time. Verse 27, Jesus says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your lives? In fact, you're more likely to knock hours off your life, aren't you? We can't add to our lives by worrying. We can lie awake all night long worrying. I can get anxious about my train or plane journey, but it's not going to make any difference. It's illogical. It's futile. It's unproductive. And Jesus says we can't add anything to our lives. And the truth is that most of the things we worry about never happen anywhere. I don't know if you've noticed that. You can think about things, you can get anxious about things, and they don't happen. Winston Churchill once said, when I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which never happened. That's true, isn't it? A lot of trouble in our lives, but it actually never happens. Worry is a waste of time. And the second thing that Jesus says is that worry and faith are incompatible. Look at verse 28. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet, I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Faith means trust. Trusting in God to provide, trusting in his care and provision. To be a Christian means that we are called to walk in faith. to walk in that trusting relationship with God. I love the definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, where the writer says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You see, worry misses the point of life. It's both a waste of time, but also incompatible with faith. We need to learn to cultivate trust. Because when we place our trust in Jesus, when we commit ourselves to him, when we submit to his ways and his rule, we actually don't have to worry about anything. Jesus will meet all of our needs. He won't necessarily meet all of our wants, and there's a very important distinction there, but he will meet our needs. And however distant answers to prayer can sometimes seem, we need to cultivate that trust in him. And then the third thing here is worry is unnecessary, because Jesus goes on to say, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. You see, God promises to meet our needs if we get our priorities right, if we focus on him. The Bible is full of those kind of promises. Back in Genesis, we read how God put everything in place that is needed for life. He didn't want us to worry. Everything was already there in the Garden of Eden. It was perfect and was going to provide for all of humanity. The problem is, of course, humanity decided to go their own way, turn their backs on God, and the rest of Scripture unveils what happens. One of the problems in our world today is that we don't share our resources fairly. A few of us in the West, have too much, while most in the world have too little. About 800 million people in the world do not have enough food to eat each day, and at the same time, 30% of food produced in the UK goes to waste. It's not just the waste that you and I of food are throwing away. You probably think I don't do that, but by supermarkets, producers, consumers, food that we won't buy in supermarkets because it's odd shapes or has blemishes or whatever, all of that kind of stuff amounts to food waste. And those figures are replicated in most Western countries. You see, God has provided what we need, but we're so fussy and choosy while the rest of the world goes without. Worry about our needs is unnecessary if we put God's priorities first. But concern about fairness should be high on all of our agendas. So what does God say? What does Jesus say here if worry is both a waste of time, worry is incompatible with faith, and worry is unnecessary? In verse 33, he gives the answer. Instead of worry, he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And the verse that for some reason isn't in the reading today, but it says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Jesus calls us to a higher ambition than worry, to seek his kingdom, to seek his rule and his reign in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages, in our relationships, in our families, in our lifestyle, to seek it in the lives of others, in our friends, relations, neighbours, colleagues at work, the communities we live in. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, which we will do a little bit later on, we pray that your kingdom come on earth. And for on earth, you can think of every situation where you find yourselves. We pray that we will see God's kingdom, that we will see the things of heaven here on earth. And whenever we see an answer to prayer, however small, it's a sign of God's kingdom coming. So instead of worrying, pray, seek, and look for his coming here on earth. But the second thing Jesus says is not just seek God's kingdom, but seek God's righteousness. What does that mean? To seek God's kingdom, to seek it in his way with his righteousness in our lives, in our communities. Living a life that is right with God and demonstrates his life on earth. And one of the ways we can do that is at a time like this, as we celebrate God's generosity to us, to reach out to those in need. You know, it's great that some of us have bought food today, but I guess for most of us this is just a few extra things that we bought that won't actually make a lot of difference to what we're going to eat today or for the rest of the week. Today in our harvest we're focusing not just on God's generosity to us, but on the work of the Ealing Food Bank, started about 5 years ago by the churches in Ealing. And it's now grown so much that each week it gives away 1 ton of food. 1 ton of food to people across the borough who are in need. If any of you saw the programme on BBC Two on Friday night, which I promoted amongst you, the Debt Saviours, about the work of Christians against poverty. Great programme. Look at it on iPlayer if you didn't see it. But we saw there how the work of CAP and the work of food banks came together to meet the needs of people up in Bradford, this was. And today we can all be involved in that work. We can give food that is needed, and thank you to those who have. We can give money to support their work. And if you've already done that, thank you. If you want to, that would be wonderful. Just use a blue gift aid envelope, as Enid was saying. We can sacrifice a little bit of our plenty and trust that God will continue to provide for us as through us he meets the needs of those who is so much greater than ours. You see, Jesus promises that when we get our ambitions and our priorities right, then all these things will be given to you as well. All the little worries, the little concerns, the things that we lie awake at night thinking about will be dealt with as we seek his kingdom and his righteousness. So today, if like me you're a worrier, try to put your worries in the context of God's wider plans for his creation, and see how the little things that you worry about are actually nothing compared to what God is concerned about. Learn to seek more of his kingdom and his righteousness in your life. Learn to give in order to bless. Pray it, seek it, and do it. Amen.